I just am so overwhelmed with the goodness of God and how he has demonstrated and manifested his love to us so many times. And I will tell you this, the enemy, for you guys that needed healing, you need to know the enemy's going to do everything he can to convince you that nothing happened. I'm telling you, stand in there. You experienced his fire a while ago. It's very real. Don't let the enemy come in. Don't let the bird come and try to steal the seed. It's very real. Now, I want to encourage you as well, if you're here and I think we're going to get some more of these out of today, but I've been encouraging people, if you have been healed supernaturally or some kind of a miracle has taken place and you can't explain it any other way than God did it, it wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been him. Now, I'm not talking about, now listen, nothing wrong with praying that surgery will go well and those kind of things. I'm not talking against that. But what I'm saying is there's a very specific manifestation that happens in this body many, many times. And some of you know, if you've been with us for a while, we've had so many incredible miracles take place in this house. The Lord challenged me a while back to begin to write those down, the things that I can remember, whether miracles that happened to me or miracles I was a part of or whatever, to begin to write them down, to reminisce about those and to share those things with people to give God maximum glory. Because what will happen is, just like my pastor wrote a bunch of these things down and they're in this book, the whole reason he did that was because, you know, eventually people will forget about them. They'll stop telling the stories and they'll forget about them. Right? So the Lord really challenged me. And as I begin to pray and say, Lord, remind me of some of these things, I was blown away all over again as he would remind me of things that I had seen, that I had experienced, that had happened in this church that literally, honestly, I forgot about. And it always just blew me away. And so I've been challenging people, if that kind of thing has happened, write it down. Write it down. And so we've had several people that have done so. And it doesn't matter if it happened in this body or not. It's just if it's a supernatural, a miraculous thing, and you can't explain it other than it was miraculous, then write it down. I'd love to have a copy of it myself. If you know, keep one for yourself as well. This morning, little Carter Humphrey came in and he gave me his. And, you know, you can see it. You can see his. This Carter is 9 years old. And this is what Carter said. I fell off my bike and fractured my arm. I was prayed for and God healed my arm. Now you got to understand that day, I remember that was Easter Sunday. He walks in with a cast and tells his mama the next day, we need to go get this cast taken off because God healed my arm. All of his pain went away, all of that. They took him to the hospital. They cut the cast off. They re-examined him. Guess what? His arm was totally healed. Not even evidence that there was a break of any kind, okay? And we've seen so many things like that. But I appreciate it. I told Carter, thank you so much because you followed, you obeyed, and you followed the request. And he wanted to include his in here. And there are hundreds of those things. And I've got several up here on here. And, you know, so I'm not asking you to do this like it's some kind of a school chore or task. It's not a book report. It's just, let's give God glory. Amen. And what I'm going to do is, I don't know when, but one day I'm going to read a whole bunch of these out, or at least we'll start meeting these out and reading them out. But understand, you know, everybody knows, most everybody knows about Brother Ronnie, who was healed after 24 years of being crippled. That doesn't just happen. Most of you know about John and John Carnahan and how his God literally reattached his detached hamstring muscle. That's just a couple of the things. But people that have had metal dissolve in their bodies, had broken bones completely healed, back issues, heart issues, kidney issues, all of these things, we want God to get the glory. I tell people about these things and they go, well, how come we hadn't heard about it? I said, I guess because the people it's happening to ain't telling anybody. I don't know. But we want to give God the glory for everything he does. One thing I never want to do is take God for granted. I don't want to take his grace for granted. Now, wasn't that a good word Pastor Cindy brought there this morning? Look, here's the deal. When you come to church here, here's the deal. You get a twofer, right? You get a two for one. You know, and I've told her we have this agreement. I told her if you want to speak for 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 30 minutes, the whole service, it doesn't matter. Because what happens here is we want the different anointings to operate the way God intended for them. And Pastor Cindy operates in a very prophetic anointing. And so I'm up here, I've got my notes, man. I mean, I've got my notes completely laid out there to keep me in order. She don't need notes. She just gets up here and it's, you know, here it comes, right? And so it's because she's anointed to do that, and it's very prophetic in nature as it's coming forth. And so you would do well to hear what's being said there. And so today we're going to get into this teaching, go a little bit further, and we've been in it for a few weeks, but this is called Slaying the Green-Eyed Monster. But we've been talking about this. This really is dealing with covetousness. You know, Jesus, one of the things that he told his disciples, he commanded them, as he said, beware of covetousness. Now, it's very strong language when he said beware of it. He's letting you know covetousness is a dangerous thing, and you better beware of it. Don't be ignorant about it. Listen, we had a guy years ago, I'll never forget, he came one day. We were still in the old church, the little building over there, and shows up one day, and he tells me, he says, Pastor, I got bit by a dog, and he's going to show me. I said, well, where did you get bit? I said, well, let me see. I was going to check it out, and he starts to, like, take his pants loose, and I'm like, wait, where did he bite you? And he says, he bit me on my behind. I was like, no, never mind, I don't want to see it. But what happened was, I said, how did this happen? Was this dog loose? He said, no, he was on a chain. I mean, what happened? He said, well, I walked through a yard. And I said, did you say the dog was on a chain? He said, yeah. He said, I didn't see him. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, because I've been around dogs on a chain, right? I've seen that. I said, was there like a big old circle where there was no grass? He said, yeah. I said, if you ever see a circle with no grass, don't walk through it. There is a dog in there, right? And so I said all that to say, we can be blindsided sometimes. We don't see it coming sometimes. We could be trespassing in a place in life and not even realize that there is danger there. And there is grave danger with covetousness. That's why Jesus said, beware. You don't tell people beware if there's no danger, all right? And so this is one of the commands that Jesus gave his disciples, but it really comes out of the 10th commandment in the 10 commandments. I call it the cleanup commandment, because if you get the 10th commandment taken care of, and it's the only one that really deals with the heart. If you get the 10th commandment taken care of, you don't have to worry about the other nine. It's the 10th commandment. Breaking the 10th commandment is what allows you to break all the others, right? So here's the deal. When it all comes down to it, covetousness is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil. The scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil, but it's really better translated avarice and covetousness. That's the root of all evil. If there's covetousness in my heart, it will lead me to other sins. Okay? And it's so important to get this. Because when it comes down to it, what the scripture's teaching us is that our problem is always a heart problem. If we have a problem, it starts in the heart. And you got to deal with the heart issue before you can deal with any other issue. All right? So just laying a little bit of a foundation there. So Jesus said in Luke 12:15, he said to them, take care, be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. You can go back and listen to it either on the Pastor Dwayne Daigle Facebook page or the Church of the Promise Facebook page, and I believe it's on the website too, but you can go back and listen to those other messages that we dealt with this. And really get a deeper background. But we started by talking about what is covetousness and defining that, exactly what that is. And then we demonstrated, actually last week, we ended by demonstrating how you take all of the other commandments 1-9, and demonstrated how covetousness actually causes you to break those other commandments. Okay. So that's where we ended up. So the problem is, there's another way to say covetousness, very simple, plain English, and it is this: selfishness. That's really what it comes down to. And I have said for years that the universal problem with mankind is simply selfishness. That's why the scripture talks about dealing with self. That's why the scripture talks about living a crucified life. That's why Paul says it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. See, that's the secret to real success, okay? So the problem is selfishness. You're never content. And by the way, when you're not content, that causes you to be very ungrateful. Dr. Lee Robertson says this. He says, an ancient sin, talking about it, he calls it an ancient sin dogging the steps of modern man. So I could ask you this one question. What kind of world would we live in if nobody was selfish? I think they call it heaven. I think that's what they call it, right? A story is told of a peasant who murmured to a giant landholder of the unfairness of that landowner having so much and the peasant not having anything. And knowing the nature of men, the landowner promised to give the peasant all the land he could walk around in a whole day. And I mean, this landowner was loaded. I mean, he had lots and lots of land. He said, I tell you what, all the land that you can walk around in a whole day, I'll just give it to you. But the peasant, who was very greedy and covetous, trying to take all the area possible on this hot summer day, overexerted himself and dropped with a heart attack and died. And he ended up with nothing. Boy, if that doesn't describe a lot of what people are going to end up with in life, when they are driven by covetousness, by greed, by lust, all of those things, selfishness, those are all just ways to describe covetousness. And so when it comes down to it, if I'm just trying to get all I can get and making it about all I can get, ultimately, I'm going to end up with nothing. So coveting is the matter of the heart that leads to an outward expression of all our sin in what we say and do. Now, let me give you a couple of scriptures here. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. For out of the heart, everybody say the heart. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. What's he doing? He's really going through all kinds of commandments, right? And he's saying, Jesus is saying, it all comes from the heart. That's where it starts. And what is the commandment that deals with the heart? Do not covet. So it all, again, covetousness is the cleanup commandment. You take care of that one, you can hit a home run. So James chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. I believe specifically what James is talking about here is the one point he's talking about is covetousness. Because if you have covetousness, you break all the law. So coveting is the root of all sin. You know, I believe, you know, it's very possible. We've been talking about this for a few weeks now, just kind of chipping at it a little at a time. And it's very possible that some of you in here might be coveting, wishing you had another church that would stop talking about coveting. You could never be able to get total control over the other nine commandments that God gave, which is simply his moral code. This is what God says is right. Okay, right and wrong. Our government doesn't dictate to us what right and wrong is. Our society doesn't dictate what is right and wrong to us. And can I tell you, our feelings cannot dictate to us what is right and wrong. God's moral code is what says what is right and wrong. And so that's why you must be born again by the Spirit of God. It is impossible with our old carnal nature. It is impossible to live a life that reflects his glory and is pleasing to God when I have covetousness in my heart. It's impossible. And I don't care. Listen, I don't care if you have been in church all of your life. I don't care if you said the sinner's prayer. If you didn't let God go into your heart and clean that mess out of your heart, you probably never got born again. You just said some words. And you may have mental assent. Yeah, I think Jesus is the Messiah. I believe Jesus is Lord. But the belief is not just a belief in the head. It has to be a belief in the heart. So the inside must be cleansed so that the outside can also be cleansed. This is why I have a problem with. Now, listen, I believe, NA, AA, groups like that, I believe they maybe have helped people. I know people who have, at least it was a start for them. Some of you in this room, maybe it was a start for you. But I have a real problem with standing up every time and identifying myself as the old guy. It's one thing to say, I was an alcoholic. I still have the propensity to be one if I choose to be one. But I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone and the new has come. My name's written in heaven. I've been born again. I'm not that old guy anymore. And I think they'd do much better if they started their meetings out that way. All right. So Romans 7:7-8 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. Now, I've read this before, but I want to just reiterate that Paul is including all of the law here when he says, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. And then he doesn't mention any of the law except for coveting. Why? Because the coveting, it covers all of the law. Right? The coveting is what causes us to sin, period. Listen, prisons are full of people for one reason and one reason alone, no matter what their crime was, they're there for coveting. And someone say, yeah, but I was framed. Well, yeah, you just didn't get caught the time you really did break the law. That's all. And now you're claiming to be framed because even if you're innocent in this charge, believe me, there's plenty more to charge you with. Can I get a bigger amen? And the only reason most people are not in prison is simply because they didn't get caught yet. All right. Since y'all are so excited about that, I'm going to just move on here. Listen, God will not only judge us for the obvious external sins that we commit by what we say and do, but God is going to judge the sins of coveting, the inside out matters of the heart that lead us to all other sin. When we stand before God, that's going to be the number one question. What did you do with this life I gave you? Were you selfish or not? Because a person who is selfish is going to make it all about them, and there's no way they're going to take up their cross, deny themselves, follow him. There's no way. So God will judge us for that and really and that alone. So God knows our hearts. He knows the condition of our hearts better than we do. And so what really is greed or lust or covetousness? Is it really wrong to desire anything? And I believe that it's very important that we know the difference. How many of you know God's word talks about blessing all the time? God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us in our going out and our coming in, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, all of that. He wants to bless us. He loves to bless us just like a father, you know, a good father or mother wants to bless their children. He wants us blessed. Nothing wrong with desiring the blessing of God, but there is something wrong with coveting. And it is possible that we can even covet those things that God always intended to be a blessing. And then when we do that, we turn those things into a curse. We need to be able to determine between legitimate desires and the desires that would be covetous. You know, I think most of us realize that some desires are good and some desires are not good, right? And so we need to realize that Satan is out there trying to take even the legitimate desires that we have and tempt us to increase those desires to a covetous proportions. I'll give you an example. I've had people, Pastor, man, we are in such a hard place, man, financially. I need a job. I'll pray for you to have a job. But I always tell them, look, I'm going to pray for you to have the job. I'm going to pray for that to open. But please, don't let that job become an idol. And don't let that job take you out of worshiping with the people of God the way the scripture said. Now, understand that some jobs, it requires that because of the schedules. But there's a difference in having to work to make that money and just choosing to do it because I just got to have more money. There's a big difference. One has covetousness, one doesn't. So, and I've seen that happen. Pray, people, in dire straits, asking us to pay their bills and everything else in dire straits, finally get a job, then the job becomes their God, and next thing you know, they have a new God in their life, a new idol in their life, and slowly but surely, they just begin to disappear, and we don't ever see them. Oh, but you were in church on your knees crying and begging when you were in dire straits. I feel the Holy Ghost on. So, when we covet, our desires have been misplaced. You know, and this is so important to understand. We're about to wrap up right here. Just like faith, we have faith. God gives us all the measure of faith. It's not that people don't have faith. It's that people misplace their faith. See, if I put my faith in Him, that's placed in the right place. But if I put my faith, if my situation is bigger, in my mind than God is on this, in this situation, then I have faith. I just placed it in the wrong direction. I've placed it in the problem, right? Well, it's the same way. God wants us to have desires. He just wants our desires to be placed in the right place. He wants our desire to be in Him. My desire, He wants our desires to be His desires, His desires to be our desires. He wants us to want what He wants. And if we want what He wants, man, I'm gonna tell you, that opens up a whole world for us that we didn't even know was possible. Because He wants people healed. He wants people saved. He wants people delivered. He wants the supernatural. And He wants blessings to come to His people. So when we covet, our desires have been simply misplaced. So how can we identify covetous desire versus legitimate desire in our hearts? And I want to take a look at some principles that will help to assess our own desires and see if they are legitimate or covetous. Now, how many of you believe that's a good thing to do? Want to know, are my desires legitimate or are they covetous? Because the covetous desires are going to lead me to death. Legitimate desires are going to lead me to life. Now, how many of you want to find out? Okay. Well, then tell your neighbor this. Be back here next Sunday. Same bat time, same bat channel, 9 a.m. or 10:30 Sunday morning. And we're going to get into looking at what's the difference between legitimate desire and covetous desire, and maybe help us to see. And look, when I first went through this, I had to just be honest with God. And I was like, oh man, yeah, there's some stuff in there that needs to change. You know, if we will stay in there and we'll press in, you know, and we'll, when the hit comes and it feels painful, and when the sword comes and it cuts you a little bit, pierces you, if you'll just stay there and trust the Lord, He'll get you through it, and He'll get you to a place where you see things in you you didn't know were there, and you'll get cleansed of it. Amen. I want to just pray for you this morning. Because I know, you know, maybe the reason it's taking several weeks to go through this particular teaching is because, you know, sometimes it takes a while to get all this junk out of our hearts. And so, and maybe you can only handle just a little bit at a time of this stuff, you know. But I just want to pray, if you'll lift your hands to the Lord, I just want to pray for you specifically again. Father God, I thank You. Lord, you are God who knows our hearts. Lord, Your word tells us that You will give us the desires of our hearts. Lord, we understand that doesn't just mean You give us whatever we want when we want it. It means You give us Your desires. And then You fulfill those desires, Father. And so, Lord, I pray, like more and more, Father God, for every person in this room today, Lord, that our desires would shift to Your desires. Lord, that covetousness would have no place in our hearts. Father, we know that it's if we deal with that issue, God, then we'll have victory over all the other things. So Lord, I pray, cleanse us. Cleanse us with Your fire. Cleanse our hearts. Purify us, oh God. Lord, cause the dross to rise up out of our hearts and be removed. Father, we want to serve You. We want to live in a way that pleases You. We don't want to make excuses for sin, oh God. Lord, we don't want to live in a way that brings dishonor to Your name to this world, Father. Lord, we want to live in a way that honors You and glorifies You, God. Lord, we don't want to make excuses about we live in the flesh. Lord, You told us to be in this world, but not of it. Lord, by Your power, by Your Spirit, we can do that. Lord, I thank You that you don't only give us dominion over sickness and disease and those things, but You give us dominion over sin. We don't ever have to sin again. And I thank You, Father, as we continue to draw closer to You and allow You to fill our lives daily, sin will lose its grip completely. Lord, I thank you for a supernatural anointing upon every person who's walked into this room today. Lord, when they go out of this place, may they be light in the darkness. Lord, may people be drawn to them who need to hear truth, who need to come to life, Lord, who need to have their destiny changed from hell to heaven. Oh God, and I pray we represent you well in that moment. We know there will be tests. We know there will be trials. But Father, I thank you that you are able to help us pass those tests. Lord, I pray use these people. Use them for your glory this week. And I thank you for meeting their every need. And I do thank you for touching people today. I do thank you for the healings that will be manifested, God, even throughout the week. I thank you for testimonies of your power and your grace coming forth. In Jesus' name.